Treatment courts are special courts, like family court or juvenile court, that are one way people who have often intense legal issues compounded by addiction issues to alcohol or other drugs may chart a path forward to recovery and reintegration into broader society. Some counties in Vermont have them. Chittenden, Rutland, Windsor, and Washington counties currently have treatment courts in operation. They provide a way for people to rebuild their lives as they fix their legal problems and make fresh starts. One nonprofit organization, Roots and Wings, is trying to push to make it easier for those with substance abuse concerns to resolve their legal issues as they navigate becoming clean and sober, and see treatment courts as an important pathway. Mickey Wiles, the president of Roots and Wings Board of Directors, and Fawn Montaigne, their executive director, described what their organization is doing and what one way forward might look like.
We've been working on getting this organization off the ground for almost 2 years now. And really, the interest in the organization has been sparked through some of the judges that are actually involved with the treatment courts, as well as some of the members of the treatment teams. And they all really strongly believe in the treatment court system and how effective it can be and how it can be helped. But they also recognize that based on the structure here in Vermont, that there are definitely limitations. And the limitations that they have is largely surrounded around by having the financial means or the resources to be able to do some of the things they need to do to make the program even more successful than it is. And what I mean by that is the treatment courts are part of the judiciary system, and all of the people that work on the treatment teams are, you know, the judge, people who are assigned from the public defender's office, the prosecutors in the area, and then a designated mental health agency that provides the treatment side of it from a substance use addiction. And one of our main missions is to be able to provide some of the support to the participants as they are going along their journey to make their journey a little bit easier.
The treatment court programs have been operating here in Vermont for over 30 years as part of a best practice system. There are standards to be held, lots to be adhered to by the team, and a lot expected of the participants. So in addition to what we're referring to as participant support, which was what Mickey was speaking about, basic life needs, we move on to program quality. And that has two prongs to it. Under the best practices system, there's a behavioral modification process involving contingency management and incentives that go along with the process. And it's really rewarding good behavior for people who have never experienced what positive reinforcement looks or feels like. So to give somebody a gift card for a cup of coffee, $5, when they meet with the judge after a successful week to acknowledge doing the next right thing, meeting all of their demands, all their mandates, all the things they've committed to, and often exceeding them in some cases, they get about 30 seconds with the judge at the end where they're able to walk up if they're being rewarded. And they get not only the gift card, but this quiet conversation with the judge as well, where he reinforces and says, you know, I'm really proud you're doing this right or that right. So unfortunately, funds for that are not equitably distributed around the state, and not all of the court dockets have access to resources to maintain a proper balance of contingency management resources for their areas.
That treatment court is one way to navigate one's path back to a purpose-driven, addiction-free version of life was sketched out for us by Kara Beam, who is the operations manager and volunteer coordinator for the Turning Point Center of Chittenden County. She told us about her experience in the treatment court up north in Chittenden County.
I was one of the first participants to actually do treatment court here in Chittenden County. So it's been a while, but that program had a major impact on me. I was able to, you know, stay clean for a length of time. I got a job and I held that job for, I stayed there for about a year and a half, I think. I hadn't done anything like that previous to being in treatment court. So it made a huge impact on me.
So I wondered if you could describe kind of what that was like, what happened over the course of that period of time. I mean, how did it work and everything?
While I was in treatment court?
Yeah. I mean, did you have to go there like once a week or something like that, or?
Yep. I would go once a week. At the very beginning, I had a case manager and I had to call him a few times a day just to keep checking in, because at that point in time, I guess I was a pretty high risk for, I had had a lot of overdoses. I was just having a really hard time, let's just say. And so I would call him and check in with him a few times a day at certain times. I had to do, UAs, make sure that they came up negative, had to go into the court and check in weekly. And, you know, I had different things that I was asked to do. They wanted me to do an IOP program, for instance, and you know that at one point, like I said, they wanted me to do a little more with myself, so they suggested that maybe I get a job, and I walked across the street from the court and applied right across the street, so at the store there. So yeah.
While there are treatment courts currently in four counties in Vermont, there isn't one in Bennington County. There used to be one, but not at the moment. Senator Dick Sears and State's Attorney Erica Marthage gave us some background to the treatment courts in Bennington County. It's an expense, and there are several different versions of treatment court.
The treatment court is different from regular court, and that is that the perpetrator of whatever the act is, works directly with the judge and usually a case manager. And it handles around 25 people. But first of all, it has to have the support of the state's attorney. So the state's attorney has to be willing to refer these cases to the treatment court. Then the defense attorney also gets a role in that. And so they will frequently call for treatment court for somebody that the state's attorney disagrees with. But once the treatment court, once the decision is made, and a good example is actually here in Bennington County, we did have one of the best treatment courts in the state, and that was dealt with domestic violence. And there was actually a study done on it, and it had a tremendous success rate in reducing and eliminating recidivism on domestic violence, which is one of the worst crimes in Vermont, or most, happens frequently. So what happened there was a judge, David Sontag, who lived in Brattleboro and on Bennington District Court. And he developed a treatment court. He worked directly, as I said, with the people who had been convicted of domestic violence, as did case managers. It had tremendous support from groups like PAVE, Project Against Violent Encounters, because it was so successful. But what happened was, like in many things, Judge Sontag retired. And Erica Marthage and the next judge who took over, she had some problems with the way it was being operated by the new judge, and she didn't feel comfortable with it. Now, one of the arguments against them, believe it or not, from the Defender General is that it's such a small group of all the people who have problems, whether it be substance abuse, mental health, whatever. But around the country, they are extremely popular. They've been extremely successful. And you have to live up to whatever you and the judge agree, or the judge can put you back in jail for a few weeks or even longer. So that's part of the You know, it's a carrot and a stick, uses a lot of peer group pressure. So, you know, maybe eight people will go into the courtroom at the same time so that the other people can hear how Joe is doing, how Mary's doing, and we'll be able to, you know, the judge will either give, you know, say, hey, great job, or, you know, if this happens again, you're going away for 6 months or whatever, you know. It's so that's how treatment courts work. They're really individualized, and it takes a lot of time.
Sounds like a great idea. And the premise is the idea that treatment of any sort is ups and downs, right? It tends to be a lifelong struggle for individuals that are addressing substance problems. Drug treatment court deals specifically with those individuals that are committing crimes, but they are tied to substance abuse. And the model is that each court has a judge that's specially assigned, prosecutor that's specially assigned, attorneys, defense attorneys, and then a whole team of individuals that, like a panel almost, that looks at the factors in that individual's life. Maybe we want to look at, first and foremost, what can we do to help this person get sober and maintain sobriety? What supports do they need in the community? Do they need housing? Do they need residential treatment? Obviously, it's very heavy with treatment providers typically involved in a drug court. And instead of coming to court periodically to determine whether you're going to be pleading guilty or maintaining innocence and asking for a trial, the court is really monitoring how is this person doing. And the idea is that more frequent check-ins with a group of individuals that are really working closely with this person to try to assist them and support them into getting sober, that they would then not have to have a criminal conviction, or maybe they would end up instead of, you know, the whole goal of a treatment court is to avoid incarceration for people who are addicted. So that's kind of the premise. But my issue with it is it's really not a one size fits all, right? You might have a treatment court in Burlington is going to look very different than what it looks like in Bennington, and even more different than what it looks like in New Jersey. So the parameters that the federal government has always talked about have been very generic and not necessarily related to rural communities. There's a lot of studies that happen around that, because it is resource intensive. And so when you're dealing with a state that has few resources, the question really does this have efficacy in a rural state?
Currently here, the Center for Restorative Justice is filling that void, says State's Attorney Morthage.
So when I took office, there was actually a pilot project. There were three counties that had drug courts, and Bennington was one of them. It's the law creating, the statute that created those drug courts sunsetted the year I took office. So it was already determined that Bennington wasn't going to have a drug court going forward. There had been no one essentially referred to drug court by my predecessor. So, and I think the reason that we've never really been able to consider that as an option in our community has been, it is so resource intensive. It takes a lot of time to address each individual in a court process that really needs to focus on treatment needs, right? So the way Bennington dealt with it, and frankly, the way a lot of counties deal with it, because the majority of counties in Vermont do not have a drug treatment court. The way we've chosen to deal with it has been by using resources like the Center for Restorative Justice. If you're familiar at all with the Attorney General Donovan had spearheaded a program called Tamarack, which is essentially a treatment diversion program. So we take essentially any case that the state's attorney feels is really centered around drug use. So it could be a petty larceny, it could be an actual possession of heroin, possession of cocaine, any offense. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a misdemeanor. It could be, I've sent cases that are burglaries, maybe of an unoccupied dwelling where there are no victims in the home, no individuals in the home at the time it happens. But I know that this person has a drug history, and that's what the police know, the attorneys are telling us. So we send them, the charge is technically filed in court, but then we send them treatment diversion is just like traditional diversion, but it's really focused on more intensive services. CRJ works with the individual to make sure they first and foremost have health insurance. They get a screening in the Center for Restorative Justice, and then if that indicates they need something more, a more intensive, detailed screening, they're sent to typically UCS or one of the other private treatment providers in Bennington to get a more detailed, thorough assessment. Once that happens, CRJ helps them get into residential treatment, in the community treatment. Maybe they need methadone, maybe they need Suboxone, whatever it is. They are like the community social worker that is helping this individual connect with the different people that they need to connect with, because it's a lot. You know, anyone that's ever tried to navigate the medical world for even a run-of-the-mill problem, it can be daunting. So now when you add to that someone that is struggling with substance abuse, the beauty of the CRJ program is, as you know, a lot of the substance abuse individuals, people that are addicted, have a co-occurring mental illness. So frequently someone who starts using drugs is self-medicating in some fashion. So CRJ has the ability to send them to mental health treatment and help them with housing and maybe help them with employment or getting their license back. Maybe a barrier to treatment has been, well, I really can't get to Brattleboro because, you know, as you know, Bennington doesn't have a lot of the, you know, we're a spoke, but we're not a hub. So we don't have all of the treatments that they have in, say, Brattleboro or Rutland or Pittsfield. Well, what if you don't have a driver's license? Which a lot of the individuals that are struggling with addiction also have issues with employment and maintaining a license or a vehicle. So that may be something that CRJ focuses on first. Well, let's look at what you need treatment in Brattleboro. What can we do to help you get your license? They have an individual that works in CRJ that's in direct contact with the DMV. So that's really what CRJ is doing. And if you look at the numbers of cases in Vermont, the felony drug cases filed really has been relatively flat over the last 10 or 12. I think I looked at the numbers from 2013 forward. It's been pretty steady, minor ups and downs. The misdemeanor cases, drug cases, have gone way down. And that is not only because we're diverting people. So as soon as they go to treatment diversion, it's filed, but it's considered confidential and it's sealed. So they don't have to worry about like the public being aware of any of this happening. And what a lot of counties are doing now, and including in Bennington, is we use pre-charge. We do it as a pre-charge. So we're not even filing those charges.
Is the referral to come into treatment court comes after an offense has been committed. And often it's after numerous offenses have been committed. There's a very strong criteria to be accepted as an applicant to treatment court. And it's a combination of mental health. It's a combination of recovery or active substance use disorder, which is often driving the crimes committed. There's a guarantee, nearly a very high percentage, that participants of treatment court would otherwise reoffend and continue in active SUD use unless they were part of this program. So they have their charges. And often, Andrew, you know, the easy way out is taking the jail sentence often. It's real easy to go sit for 6 to 8 months and take your time and come back out and do your own thing. This program keeps people up to 3 to 4 years under supervision with weekly check-ins, coming in with an agreement that charges will be reduced and you have a clearer path to a future if you meet your commitments and follow through with every requirement put forward and prioritize that before anything else that you're doing in life. I'm a person in recovery, and I experienced, you know, living in a halfway house with people that were going through treatment court, and it was exceptional what was required of them. I had just, you know, had to do 4 months in a halfway house to satisfy New York State family court to get custody of my children back after DUI. And these folks had significant offenses. They were looking at significant jail time if they ever made a mistake. And, you know, what does that say about somebody in recovery? You know, this expectation you cannot make a mistake. Treatment court affords the opportunity to set a clean date, work with a team, and then have basic life needs met for this whole duration. When you come into a program and you don't know where you're sleeping, you don't know what your next moves are, how you're getting to work. We live in Vermont. Often people are taking buses or getting rides 30 to 40 miles each way just to show up for court each week. And they're doing it because it makes the difference.
Amid the COVID emergency, it's been easy to overlook the addiction and overdose crisis that's also been underway, continuing from before COVID arrived in early 2020. It hasn't stopped, and the isolation and extra pressure of the pandemic hasn't made it any easier for those struggling with recovery. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.